Well, welcome to the Guild. We are glad, obviously, that you took the time to come. You know, this is an exciting thing for us. We probably a year ago started talking about the nature of equipping and what it meant for us to train and equip folks to be all that God might want them to be in ministry, and realize that with a growing church and teams that were continuing to grow and a specific need that each team had to do some specific equipping and a broader equipping desire to find folks, really come to know their Bibles, really understand what it means to lead a life group and how to greet people and what it meant to be involved in ministry. We realized we needed a whole another level there. And then we asked the question, what environments do we have that really allow leaders to engage in becoming better leaders? We put a flag in the sand about a year ago at State of the Church and said, we were going to do this nutso thing called multi-site. And people thought we were absolutely crazy, and we weren't sure if we weren't. We just knew God was calling us to somehow focus on health and allow for growth, and the idea of building a big mega church just never felt like us. And so when we put the flag in the ground for multi-site, immediately what triggered for us is the need for leaders, the need to provide opportunities for leaders to soar and to lift ceilings off of leaders. We found, at least personally in previous experiences, that as leaders, what ends up happening is you hit a ceiling at some point where you say, look, that's as high as you can climb because there's someone else in that spot. Like, for example, let's say you play bass and you show up in the bass player. Let's call him Bill. Bill's your bass player. And you show up the next week and Bill's still playing bass. You show up a third week and Bill's playing bass. He owns the bass. And if you're a bass player, you know, I don't have any room. They got Bill. Why do they need me? And we wanted to make sure that as we grew as a church, that we never created that environment, that assumption that we already have someone, we don't need you. And so with multi-site, what it did is triggered all kinds of processes. And so in that, we said, we've got to create an environment where guests can learn more about our church, where family can be challenged and reminded, and where leaders can be trained. And so the Guild was sort of birthed, modified, if you will. And so welcome to what it's become. And before I get into my plenary session here today, I'd say hats off to Mike and Cam and Karen, to the rest of the equipping team for pulling off, for Paula and the other folks that I know have been involved for pulling off a tremendous Guild. And just to say thank you to them, just give them a round of applause, would you? It's very seldom that you can say, okay, I see something that needs to be, and you have a picture of it in your head, and then to see it accomplished, and it is just so much better than you could have imagined. And when we started dreaming of the Guild, this is far better than anything I could have imagined. So hats off to you as your team. I've been tasked in my plenary session today to talk a little bit about sort of the leader's roadmap. And ultimately, what that means is I want to talk about two different sides of sort of what the journey is for someone to move from being a guest to being family. I want to define a couple terms. I want to clarify some things. For a guest who's among us, I'm hoping to provide for you a next step that is easy, because my goodness, if you're getting involved in a church, you know, you shouldn't have to arm wrestle somebody to get involved. Easy. It should be obvious, which means the next step shouldn't be cryptic. You shouldn't have to find some code in your Bible with a decoder ring to figure out what the next step is. And it needs to be strategic, meaning it needs to be moving you to something. For far too long in Christendom, we have become destination-oriented. Put your faith in Christ, get saved, sit, soak, and sour, good for you. We'll enjoy your funeral. And the reality is that is not at all what God has called us to do or to be in His Word. And so we're hoping to create easy, obvious, and strategic next steps. Now, for those of you who are family, the reality is some of the things we're going to talk about in this session, you say, oh, I already know that. And the tendency is to say, I already know that. I really could care less if you know it. I want to know if you're doing it. Because doing it is what matters. Do you understand what I'm saying there? It doesn't do any good for you to say, oh, I understand that we need to be in life groups. Are you in one? And in that, can you tell me the names of three or four people who you know that are new here that you're helping get into one? Because ultimately, friends, that's the goal. We have four values that drive us as a church. Four things, four North Stars. One is that we're a connecting church. 1 Thessalonians 5:8, the Apostle Paul says that we were well pleased to impart to you not only the gospel of God, but also our very lives, because you have become dear to us. We want to be about that together. Part of this process is going to cover that. We also said that we want to connect people to community. We want to be a community church. We take Acts 2:42 through 47 very seriously as a descriptive picture for us of what the church was like. So we want to be a part of sharing life together, of taking care of one another's needs, etc. You've probably all read the passage, and if you're going to go through Discovery, we're going to talk about it here in depth there in just a moment. We also want to be an equipping church. Ephesians 4, Paul says he gave some as apostles, prophets, evangelists, as pastors and teachers, for the equipping of saints, for the work of service, to the building up of the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith, to a mature man, to the measure and the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ, which means that we need to be about equipping together. That it's not just enough to come to Christ, it's not just enough to have pastoral staff do the ministry, we need to be equipped. And then finally, we want to be a missional church, which means, as Jesus said in Matthew 5:16, let your light shine before men in such a way that they would see your good works and glorify your Father who's in heaven, okay? The equipping and mission side I want to set aside for a second, and I want to focus on the first two. Connecting for community. What does that look like? Well, let me show you just some things that have caused us to take notice just here real quickly. According to our census that we took a little over a year ago, there was almost 450 people at this church who had attended the Well for less than a year. 450 people had attended for less than a year. Now you think, well, that's not a big deal. It's not a big deal if the entire purpose of your church is a Sunday service. If really your end goal is body count, then that's no problem at all. Our end goal is revolution, movement, followers of Christ who engage, and by engaging become part of something bigger than themselves and help other people be a part of that. The purpose of this church has not changed, helping people connect to God and to each other. The addition we've added, so I guess technically it has, but it's just expanded, helping people connect to God and to each other in every neighborhood so that we can be the church in every neighborhood. That's a lot of people who on a bad day come and say, well, you know, I like the worship or I like the teaching, and then leave. Let their Bible sit on their coffee table for another week and then come back. And never engage. And so we say that's interesting, it's exciting, but it also is terrifying. Well, it gets worse or better, depending on how you look at it. We've grown by 300 people in the last 3 weeks. Okay, now, some of those folks are window shoppers. They're checking us out, and in 6 weeks, they're going to go back to their apartment, dorm room, previous church, whatever. I don't know. At the end of the day, to be honest with you, I don't care. I just want to equip people to be what God wants them to be. When I say I don't care, what that means is if people are going to come and engage, then we need to be faithful to the people that God brings to this place. And if people feel like they're going to leave and go back to another church or whatever, hey, great, we're all part of the same kingdom. And if we can be a part of equipping people, then we want to do that. But here's what this means. You add those two numbers together, that means there's over 700 people that have been at the Well for just over a year. That's almost half of our congregation. So we just need to do a little review with us just to make sure we're on the same page as to what it means for us to be a part of helping people move from guest to family. We have got to be a church that welcomes people in. On a bad day, here's what happens. The Well's growing. The Well's becoming, whether we're comfortable with the language or not, we are a big church. Okay? The reason I say whether we're comfortable with it or not, I didn't sign up to pastor a big church. I really didn't. In fact, when I was in seminary, I told my counselor at seminary that I just wanted to disciple college students. That's all I wanted to do. I didn't even see myself as a senior pastor, especially not a teaching pastor. I said, I just don't think I have the gift. Isn't that funny? Because I look at what we're doing now, and not only am I teaching on a pretty regular basis, but we're pastoring and shepherding a lot of people. So the question is, how do we allow ourselves to grow and yet still keep the ethos small? How do we let people feel like they can be a part of community? Because I'll be frank with you, on Sundays, it's not community. It's chaos, right? And I praise the Lord for it. I would never tell God, I don't like what you're doing. I said, God, if you want to grow it, great. And you know what? If God chooses to shrink it, I hope I'll be just as great with that, because ultimately, God is the senior pastor of this church. This is Christ's church, and I just want to stay the heck out of the way. Now, that being said, on a Sunday when you come, it's big. And to be honest with you, I hate it, but like last night, I was at Farmer's Market in downtown Clovis, and I walked by a group of people, and I should have remembered their names. And doggone it, if they didn't all go, hey, Brad. And I'm literally in my head, I'm like, you are so pathetic. You are awful. There are people who've been around for a long time, and I just couldn't recall the name. And I thought, man, if I feel like that, what's it feel like for someone who's a visitor? Like, what about those 300 people who are like, hey, I hear the well's coming to my neighborhood, and so now they showed up. They walk in, they're like, son, it's dark. They don't know anybody, you know? They're kind of feeling alone. They sit down, you know, under the spotlight of one of these lights, you know? It just feels odd. So how do we create easy, obvious, and strategic ways to help people feel welcome? Let me give you a couple parts of the process, okay? Now, again, here's why it's review. For many of you who've been around from the beginning, some of you were in the living room with us 5.5 years ago when we started talking about this crazy thing called the well. But many of you weren't. So if it's review, the question I want you to really wrestle with is, are you doing this? For some of you, you flamed out in ministry somewhere. You'd be absolutely blown away, by the way, by how many people we have in this church who flamed out in ministry somewhere, which means they just got overworked. Their output exceeded their intake. Their upkeep became their downfall. They finally tapped out and said, if I'm going to walk with God, I got to get the heck out of here. And they ended up here. Some of you have just been struggling and you ended up here. We've always been a home for the broken, and I'm so excited for that. But in that, you might not need to do, in terms of getting other people involved, anything other than to come and be healed, to hear the Word of God, to be restored, to learn to love Jesus again, to learn to read your Bible without bitterness because you got to teach it to somebody, and just abide in Christ. So for you, maybe these steps are for you to really think through just on your own. Step number one for us has always been info cards, okay? That's where it begins, because we've got a very passive yet intentional process of helping people connect. How many of you have been in a context, maybe even not a church context, where you're around a lot of people and they go, hey, if you're new, go ahead and stand up, you know? And you're just like, oh, great, you know? And so you stand up. Then you know there's only like three of you there that are new, so you feel like even a bigger idiot than when you walked in. It's just awkward. We've got people who hate Jesus who are coming to our church because they're hearing the Word of God and they're interested in that. But they're probably atheists. We've got people that are struggling with sin that come to our place to get restored. So we don't make anybody stand up. What we'll say when we remember, which we need to do better at that because we forget too much, is here's an info card. Fill it out, drop it into one of the boxes. We want to be as available to you as you're comfortable with. So when consultants have come in to talk with us, one of the feedback they give us is, you need to be more aggressive with guests. And I say, thanks for your input. No. No. Because I value the freedom that people have to come, sit alone, engage, wrestle with God, and leave in anonymity. I don't have a problem with that for a period. If it's 6 months into it and someone's still coming and sitting and leaving, now I've got a problem. Unless they're connected at another church. Because God hardwired us for community. And so it starts with info cards. So if you're here and you've never filled out an info card, that would be the best way for you to begin the process, easy, obvious, and strategic, of getting connected. So fill one of those out and drop it off in one of the boxes. The other thing is, if you have moved, which because of a collegian population, that's one of the reasons we went to an online database, because our collegians move, I mean, like grasshoppers jump. I mean, they're just like jumping around and moving. And I mean, I can remember before I got married, I'd moved 14 times in 14 years. I mean, I don't even think the federal government could have tracked me in that time. So if you've moved, changed your email because you're sick of getting Rolex watch advertised spam or whatever, if you'd fill out an info card and just let us know that you've changed your information, that'll help us get in touch with you. We don't send out a lot of stuff. For the most part, we're pretty lean in how we communicate to you. So our commitment there is we don't want to whip you with Brad's thoughts for the day. All right, one is it's a total waste of your time and you got better things to do. Two is we just don't want to communicate like that. So if you'll fill that out, that'd be great. That'll get us started. Now, if you invite someone who's a guest, one of the first things you want to help them do is fill out an info card. Not so that we can stalk them, but so that we can make them aware of information that's coming. Our link team does a great job of sending out appropriate information to the people that need to get it, like a discovery invite here and there. Which, by the way, some of you have been through discovery and you got the email anyway. Please forgive us, we oopsed on that one a little bit. But for the most part, it's pretty consistent. So info card's a great start. Now, once you fill out an info card, the next step's a quick start guide. For a lot of people, they're not sure who we are, what we're about. This is a great thing to get in their hands. It just tells a little bit about who we are. You, if your family here, need to be familiar with this. Because this piece is great. Because people say, well, what's the church, you know, about? And, you know, what do they do? And what programs do they have and whatnot? Give them this. This answers a majority of the questions. This and the website. I encourage you to check out the website. We've done campus-specific things on the website. So you can actually log onto the website, choose your preferred campus, and that'll be the one that you see on a regular basis. Church-wide events or campus support events will be communicated on both, but this is something really worth your time to look into. The next thing is we've got a team that's in place called a link team, and their job is to help guests get connected. As you can see by the numbers we showed earlier, there's a lot of new people coming. And one of the things that concerns me about having a link team is as soon as you put an official team in place, it like lets us all off the hook if we're not careful. For example, we have a first touch team. Those are the people that are out greeting folks and making people feel welcome and just providing a face. You know, if somebody comes and they've had a tough week, at least somebody who smiles and says, hey, glad you're here. It might feel like it's expected, but at least they get a smile that week and somebody who cares about them, all right? The danger with having a first touch team, though, is we forget that we need to be a first touch church. That really, we need to have a perspective of, I come to church to meet with the Lord, not to meet with my friends. And by meeting with the Lord, what that can mean sometimes is when somebody comes in and they're alone, and you're bothered or distracted, as Martha was, with, where are my friends? And this person's sitting alone, we miss an opportunity to be Christ to that person. I've heard so many stories of someone who came in as a guest and they were sitting alone, and someone from the church came over, one of you probably, and said, hey, are you here by yourself? Do you want to sit with me and my friends? Are you here by yourself? Do you mind if I sit with you? And they just sit down and just strike up a friendship. You need to know, we don't get commission for everybody who fills out an info card. We don't give bonuses at the end of the year for everyone who comes to Christ. We just want to be the church. And the church is an inclusive group. And so we really want to encourage you to think about it from that perspective. And so that link team does link gatherings. They did one here, I guess it was last week, maybe the week before, up in the conference room, at least at this campus. And we're queuing some up at the FIG campus to just help people feel like they're welcome. Because what happens is a person will show up, and they think there's like 500 people in the sanctuary, and 499 of them are best friends. And I'm the only one who's new. Yet the reality is, if you don't know anybody's name here, be encouraged. I don't either. You know, I just don't. And that's okay. We have moved beyond the point where we can be chummy with everyone, which is interesting. Because depending on what kind of church background you came from, or even if you were here from the beginning, that's different. You're like, well, at church, you should know everybody's name. I don't think it's possible anymore. So we've made some steps to try to make the communities feel smaller, but you just need to know those are the ways we're doing that, by creating other environments, like a link gathering, or the next one is a connecting group. Some folks, honestly, to go from a large group to a life group, they're like, I'm sorry, are you telling me I'm going to go to some stranger's house who I don't know to sit in a living room for 8 weeks with a group of people I don't know to talk about God, whom I don't know? Like, what is it about that that's exciting at all? I mean, barring the Spirit of God doing an incredible thing in their heart, that is awful, okay? Now, what ends up happening is somebody invites a friend to their life group. That's totally different. At least they got you, you know? But if there's no one there, it's just that's a big jump. So we created connecting groups. Connecting groups are groups where they can get a group of people together, like 40 or 50, because you can get lost. Put a social crutch on your belly, say hi to people. You can get by in that kind of environment, no problem, okay? And then they'll do some small group interaction, but at least you know you can leave and you're not expected to like be best friends forever, you know? These aren't necessarily going to be your bridesmaids or groomsmen, you know? This is just a group of people you're getting to know in a smaller setting. That's a connecting group, and those are coming. And then finally, discovery. Discovery is a great next step for people because we are a very weird church, okay? It is what it is. We're very different. There's a lot of similarities, but there are some nuances, and we're very picky about stuff, meaning we want people to understand who we are, that if someone comes to our church for an extended period of time and hasn't found a place to serve, we're not okay with that. That's not who we are. We're not here to entertain Christians. It's not what we signed up for. We want to equip Christians, but we're not here to entertain, which is why we drive some people nuts who show up and go, hey, I'd like the program that has all of your, whatever pamphlet that has all of your church programs in it. And we're like, well, let's see, we have the guild, and we have life groups. And they just look at us like, you guys are so weird. I'm like, yeah, we are. I know. But that's who God's called us to be. And so we want people to understand in discovery the nuances of the well. A lot of people ask with discovery, is that a membership class? Especially because we're growing so much in the over 50s. They want to know, where do I become a member? Like, well, we don't have membership. We're a family. You want to be part of the family? Here's the house rules. You don't like the house rules? Find another family. Right? That's the reality of it. And so we just provide discovery to say, this is who we are. And there's been people who finish discovery and go, you know what? I can be a part of this family. They're quirky and weird, but so am I. So I fit right in, no problem. Then there's other folks who say, you know what? No, it's not going to work out. I go, hey, man, the kingdom of God is so diverse. There's all kinds of expressions of the body around this city. There's 750 churches, according to the sheriff's department in this city. So you got, 749 options to go take a look. We're going to be clear as to who God's called us to be. So that's discovery. Great next step. Easy, obvious, and strategic. Now, what does it mean to be connected to the family? Guest to family ultimately means we want to see you in an environment we call a spiritual forming environment. That's a big 50-cent way to say we want to see you in a smaller group of people. There's two primary outlets for that. The one you've heard us beat the drum of more than any is life groups. Typically what happens, and we were just talking about this week at lunch, we typically oversell and underdeliver life groups. Hey, you need to get in a life group. It'll change your life. It'll be the best thing you ever did. You know, we sell this thing, and then you get in a life group, you're like, really? Like, I don't, 12 weeks into it, I don't even know their names. I don't care, That happens every once in a while. It's understandable. Part of that is a perception of what a life group is for. Like, that life group's really for me. I'm going to be fed, and I'm going to learn, and, that kind of thing. When ultimately a life group is about you being what God called you to be, which is a person that lives in community, that cares for one another. I imagine that personality-wise, the disciples were pretty different. I mean, I just picture John as kind of a tender guy, Jesus is like reclining in his lap, where I just don't see Peter doing that, But yet they lived in community together. I can imagine Peter speaking up and John rolling his eyes, like, if you would just pray, You just kind of imagine that scenario, but yet together they formed this crew. I think life groups need to really be perceived like that. It's ultimately about what you contribute and what you gain, not just what you gain. See, on a bad day, we're very consumeristic, and we want something out of it, and I need this, and I need to get fed, and I don't like that, and I like that. It just becomes all about us. It's really not about us as individuals. It's about us as the body. That's why when Paul says there's neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, all are one in Christ. Therefore, do nothing out of selfishness or empty conceit, but consider one another as more important than yourself. I mean, that's huge. So that's part of the process. The other environment for that spiritual forming environment, is ministry teams. There's a lot of the teams that serve at this church that enjoy tremendous community. Some of the teams are huge and you don't see each other. Like, if you're part of Kids Connection, I mean, you're one of a multitude of people. That's one of the reasons why we've tried to get venue specific. So no, I'm Kids Connection. I'm 2 and 3 year old class at the 10 o'clock service. Okay, you take those parts and you move it, you know, more and more intimate. You need to find some place where you can be a part of a spiritual forming environment, life group primarily, some ministry team second. But here's the second part of that. And guys in the back, just so you know, I don't have a watch and no idea what time it is. So if I'm getting close, Mike, could you just give me a 5 minute and then I'll talk faster? That'd be great. Let's talk a little bit about the second step, though, and that's moving from family to leader. See, a lot of folks come and they say, okay, I'm here, and I'm in, and I've been through discovery, and I want to be part of the family. What are the next steps for you? Again, easy, obvious, and strategic. I talked a little bit about spiritual forming relationships and didn't forward my slide, so let me move through this and get to this piece, family to leader. This is really something that we've just crafted in about the last year, and I want to walk you through it so that you can get a feel for it. For us, really, the first step is life group attender. We really want to see you get in that environment. It's out of that life group environment that we are looking very intently for spiritual leaders, men and women that God has wired to help other people grow spiritually. Realize there's capacity. I could do an announcement MC kind of thing. I could work really, really hard to be as funny as I could, but compared to Jeff, I'm an oaf, okay? Different gifting, different wiring. I could try to care for people. I could do my best to sit with you and empathize with you, but compared to James Brandon, one of our venue pastors, I'm an oaf. Nobody's ever left my office and just thought, man, I just feel so loved. That's not who God wired me to be. And I try, and some of you have been in my office, and you know what ends up happening is someone starts crying, and I'm like, oh gosh, you know, and I'm sliding the tissue over, and I'm really trying to be a good shepherd. I'm just, God didn't make me like that. In that, there's some of you that are really wired to help other people. You shouldn't have said that was that funny. I mean, really, did you have to laugh that loud? Some of you are really wired to help other people grow. You're in a small group environment and somebody says something and immediately you're like, I need to have a one-on-one with that person to talk about such and so. I mean, you're just wired like that. You hear somebody say something and you're like, ooh, that's good. And you just file it away until somebody else says something and you're like, hey, how does that fit with that? And you kind of toss it out there and let them play. And you're facilitating spiritual formation. If that's the case, what we want to do is help you get to the next step, which is to become a life group leader, to really get you in the game. Some of you are ready for that. It's time. Those in life groups who are like, man, you know, you're like me. When you first came to Christ, it was like the worst thing you could ever do for you is put you in spiritual leadership because you didn't know sikkim about nothing. Okay, that was me. And so we want to let you grow. But when that time comes, we want you to know that there's a next step. Okay, some life group leaders are tremendous life coaches. Meaning, you just have a capacity to lead leaders. You love that environment. You want to be a part of more of a, I want a broader perspective of helping people grow. You want to help shepherd the shepherds, if you will. That's a great move for you. Now, some of you, though, are great life group leaders, and the worst thing we could do for you is pull you out of a life group. It's the typical example of a salesman who's a great salesman, who just knocks it out of the park as a salesman, and so they make him sales manager, and he's fired within 6 months. Because that God didn't make him to do that. That's not what he loves. What he loves is just being a sales guy. Is it okay for you to just be a life group leader? Well, I mean, are you asking me, is it okay for you to invest the rest of your life pouring yourself into other people for the purpose of helping them grow spiritually and know Christ and be mature and reproduce others? Yeah, I'd say so. So recognize in this, we are a very organic church, and in this easy, obvious, and strategic guest to family and family to leader, this is not linear, okay? You don't have to have your credential of, I've been a life group, whatever, and now I'm going to move to the next step. There's a lot of processes like that in organizations, and we want to be more fluid with that. We just want to show you a natural progression. So life group leader to a life group coach. Coaches are those that are going to be resources, a resource pool, for leaders. There was times early on leading a life group, I'd get a question or have a situation go down, and I'm like, and you know, you got 11 faces looking at you, oh sage, you know, to drop some sort of pearl of wisdom, and you just wet yourself, and you're like, I have no idea what to even do. Coaches are available. They're kind of like crisis hotline folks. They're the folks that are going to help do some of the trainings and that kind of thing. So that's what a coach does. We have taken a massive step that is a paradigm shift for a lot of people, and that is that we have moved to a role that we call venue pastor. Most places, I mean, just think old school church. Who's in charge of the church other than the secretary, who's probably really in charge? Who does everybody think's in charge? Pastor, the senior pastor. Not only that, but like, what's that pastor's name? Pastor so-and-so, you know? Some people call me Pastor Brad. I'm like, you're new. Because I just, you know, you don't call your plumber Plumber Tim, right? So it just, you know, you call him Tim. So we just don't like that term pastor. My title's directional leader. Part of it is because we're a little nomenclaturally schizophrenic and we really are concerned about names. The other, though, is that senior pastor carries with a lot of baggage, and I've got plenty of my own. I don't need any more. And so we've just chosen a different name. But we've anointed, if you will, venue pastors. Here's why. As we're growing as a church, the ultimate question people want to know is, when everything blows up around me, who do I call? Immediate default is the pastor. Oh, God help us. One is I'm a bit relationally handicapped. Two is we've got, at last count this last week, almost 1,500 people between the two campuses. That's a lot of people. And if people go, who's the, quote, highest on the food chain, and they call me, it's not going to happen. I can't do it. I'm not wired that way. I don't have the capacity. In fact, somebody called the other day. They wanted to get an appointment with me. I'm booked out for over 3 weeks. Now, to me, honestly, I'm like, really? Are you kidding me? But that's the nature of it, because there's so many people. So we've hired staff to be equippers. They're available. I was really excited last year. I think Mike did more weddings than I did, which was awesome. Because in the old days, man, I just kept my suit on, just kept doing them, you know? I'd show up at a wedding. They're like, hey, is that the same suit you wore last week? I'm like, buddy, deal with it. I'm here, you know? It's just the way it is. So now we've been able to spread that out, but we're even bigger than that. Not only that, but I want to be very cautious not to create a paid pastor as the paradigm, because we're all priests, a kingdom of priests, a people for his own possession. And so we've anointed venue pastor roles. At the Fig Garden campus, we've got Patrick Cook and Artie Padilla queued up as venue pastors. Our desire would be that those men at that campus are considered pastors. So when it all blows up around them, you call Artie or you call Patrick, and they can take care of your needs. They can dedicate your baby. They can do your wedding. God forbid they can do a family member's funeral. They are your pastors among you. We've also tried at this campus with multiple services to have venue pastors. We've got Josh Alfaro as our 10 o'clock venue pastor, James Brannon at 5. And we're praying about a couple guys for our 7 o'clock service that can just be your pastors. So that as we continue to grow, we're not limited to the capacity of a man. Truth be known, it would be my desire that if for some strange reason God took my life, which I hope he doesn't, but if he did, that this church would continue on, because what we have in place is a plurality of leaders with multiple voices and multiple teachers and multiple leaders, and a plurality that says we're not built upon Brad. That, to me, that seems just profoundly healthy. One is my ego sure doesn't need to be considered Pastor Brad. Two is the organization of the well needs to be bigger than me. And so those venue pastors have been raised up. Some of you need to be in that role. God has just made you like that. So when somebody's in the hospital and hurting, you can't wait to go see him. When somebody has a baby, you can't wait. I used to go visit wives who just had babies, or visit families when they just had babies. I can't keep up anymore. We've got like 25 pregnancies right now in one service. I mean, it's just too many babies. I'd spend all day at the hospital, right? Well, gosh, wouldn't it be nice for a pastor from your church to just come say hi? We've got people that have been in the hospital, had surgeries, been out and are recovering, and I hear they've been in surgery like 3 weeks previous. I'm like, oh, it would have been nice to actually come visit you. We just don't have the capacity, so we're raising up venue pastors. All right, I've beat that horse to death. The next role that we're talking about is campus pastor. Okay? We've got two campus pastors right now, Mike and myself. If we are truly going to be one church in multiple locations, then we're going to have multiple campuses that are queuing up. And we want to be ready. We want to be able to say, as God raises up a need, God, where do you want us to go? And if God raises up an opportunity, because multi-site is a Macedonian call for us. You know, that's where Paul was in Asia teaching there. God kind of shut the ministry down, gave him a vision of a Macedonian man, a guy from Europe. So he got on a boat and went over there. Okay, God, where do you want us to go? I don't have any desire, just so we're all clear. We don't want to have 10 campuses by 2010 and 20,000 by 2020. We want to have whatever God wants. If that's what God wants, then bring it. If that's not what he wants, then I don't want that. I mean, we really want to be obedient to that. But we want to be ready. So if God raises up a campus, we want to have worship teams that we can queue up and throw over there. We want to have a campus pastor trained and ready to go. We want to have campus pastors in place to get the people connected into care. We want a connections ministry, a community ministry, an equipping ministry, and a missions ministry all set and ready to go. We want to be ready so that we are faithful. As we were reading if you've been reading your life journal, Ezekiel just crushed me. Chapter 34, the watchman. Chapter 35, the shepherd. Chapter 36, I think it is, the idea, 36 or 37, dry bones that come to life. I'm like, oh, Lord, help us to be faithful. You know, just incredible stuff. We just want to be ready. So that's the process of guest to family and family to leader. Guest to family, it's about spiritual forming relationships. Family to leader, it's about raising the ceiling. If God is birthing a passion and desire in you for some sort of ministry, we want to help you get there. If you have gifts, we want to help you use them. We want to help train and develop them. The worship team's a great example. Chris has done a phenomenal job of bringing as many musicians into the loop as possible, creating community, and then releasing them to use their gifts. Because the whole goal in all of this, my friends, is the same key focus area that we mentioned at State of the Church: focus on health and allow for growth. Let's not get those confused. Let's not focus on growth and allow for health. Because honestly, if my wife hates me, this is a miserable failure. If my kids don't love me, then why am I doing this? That doesn't make any sense. You know, one of my joys, I was telling Jen this morning, both my kids were kind of in my lap this morning. We were wrestling, and they were giggling. I said, I think that's one of the best sounds to hear in my life is the sound of my child's giggle. And I want to have a healthy family and a healthy marriage and a healthy and vibrant walk with God, and in that to allow for growth. And so together, if we'll focus on health and allow for growth, these kind of processes will help with us. And in that, will help us provide an environment here at the church that has become, I think, a unique expression of what God is doing. And that is a healthy, healthy church by God's grace. So let me pray for us. We'll be done with our session here this morning. Jeff will come and we'll walk through what the next steps are. Let's pray together. God, I just thank you for the privilege to be a part of something that is a true mystery. Lord, we didn't write this in a book. We didn't read this anywhere. This isn't something we dreamt up. This just has become something that you have anointed, and we're just grateful to be a part of it. And Lord, for the guests that are here and even the folks that are just kind of new family, Lord, I thank you that they're crazy enough to jump on board with this mission that you've given us. And for the folks that have even been from living room of old, sitting around wondering what could be, God, thank you for allowing us to live the dream together. And Father, we know there's great things that you have in store for us, and we don't know what it looks like, if it's growth or if it's trimming. We don't know if it's more sites in this city or if it's not. God, we just want to be faithful, and so help us to keep you first, to abide in you, and to enjoy life together. And may the laughter that has been so rich among us, even today, continue to define this church. That we might enjoy each other while we walk with you. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen.